Coming up, we're going to be talking. I see a plethora, a cornucopia.
It is a plethora.
A cornucopia of fabulous fruit and vegetables from what's fresh in the farmer's market.
For Dan, I would not eat my vegetables.
I know. It's amazing.
He inspires me, I must say.
Well, if you're not inspired, you should get inspired. And I tell you something, if you can inspire your children to eat more vegetables.
Now you've got something.
Now you got something there, right? And then if you can inspire your children not only to eat more vegetables, but to cook. Hey, get them out there with a peeler, peel a carrot. Get out there and take the little end off the string bean and get them involved. We'll be talking with Dan the Produce Man when A Matter of Taste continues.
Oh, let those December winds bellow and blow. I'm as warm as a July tomato. Pizza's on the shelf, potatoes in the bin. Supper's ready, everybody come on in now. Taste a little of the summer, you can taste a little of the summer, you can taste a little of the summer. My grandma put it all in jars.
There is some love in the studio. I'd like to remind you that this portion of A Matter of Taste is brought to you by Microplane, taking tools from the wood shop to the kitchen with a variety of graters. Well, love has come into the studio. Dan, the Produce Man Evakian, is here. How are you?
Great. Thanks for having me.
You brought in some beauties here. There's some really interesting stuff, and Rachel, stop eating all this stuff.
Boy, I like when he goes shopping better than when you go shopping, David.
Well, you know, it's the perfect time of the year. It's August, and that's when everything is in. You've got all the summer fruit. You've got apples starting. Melons are perfect. The vegetables are abundant. Everything is available right now.
Hard to choose. You know, we went through the farmer's market the other day, and we started out with an idea of what we wanted. We got to the market and we wanted everything. And I kept saying, we can't buy everything because it won't all stay fresh.
It's like going to the warehouse club store. You go for one thing and
yeah, but that's packaged. I can park that stuff. Yeah, but I can park that stuff. This stuff, you can't park. So how do you decide what to buy in terms of if I want it today or I want it tomorrow? How do you decide the ripeness? That, to me, is the biggest dilemma.
Well, it depends on the item, for one thing, Rachel. The peaches or the white nectarines that I have here, they're still pretty firm. And I would prefer that people buy them firm because if you buy them ripe...
Better eat them now.
Exactly. And you're not going to have them for a couple of days. And then you're going to say to yourself, oh, I'm never buying stone fruit there again because it doesn't last. But if you buy a little firm and leave it on the bowl or somewhere in the kitchen... Then you'll have it for a couple of days, and it'll get to the ripeness that you want as well. And because some folks want, you know, peaches and plums and nectarines and even melons at different stages of ripeness than other people do.
True. It's kind of like some people like to sleep with the room cold. Some people like the room warm. But
not referring to our household,
are you? No, I'm just seeing some people.
Some people, right? Those people.
Yes. And so... If we buy a bunch of fruit, what I find is that I'm excited about it that day, go home, eat the ripest piece. Then I kind of forget about it, and I leave these things on the counter. And by the time I get back to them, they're all mushy. They've all ripened at the same time. I don't want to put them in the refrigerator because I don't like to eat them cold. How do you judge? I mean,
One thing.
How about not overbuying?
Well, that's absolutely. With fresh produce, you know, in the old days, people went shopping every single day. Mm-hmm. And with fresh produce, if you go every other day, every couple of days, you're better off. Plus, you get to see what's coming in fresh every day as well. Mm-hmm. But I have a tip for you on the overripe fruit.
Okay.
Take it, cut it up, or if it's too mushy, just dump it in the blender.
Oh.
A little bit of juice so that it's almost, so it's kind of thick. And blend it up and then pour it in ice cube trays. Put it in the freezer. When they're frozen, put those ice cubes in freezer plastic bags and save them. Then when you want to have a smoothie, you just add a little bit of juice in those ice cubes and away you go. Or even just a little bit of juice and it'll almost make sorbet for you.
Or what you can do is you can let it thaw out, put it back in the blender, throw a little bit of rum in it. Now you've got some really exciting, now you have an adult smoothie.
Oh,
absolutely.
I should have known you'd go there. Now that brings up a good question because with vegetables, the greatest thing you can do is make a vegetable drink. But really wouldn't necessarily wait for them to ripen too much.
Add vodka to the vegetable drink.
Yeah, right. Now not rum. Right. Well, you can add tequila too. But no, seriously, we really love taking vegetables. Besides carrots, we'll throw in tomatoes and celery and parsley is excellent. Put through a juicer.
Oh yes.
And to make a good juice drink. I mean, there's basically
a lot of nutrients in parsley.
Cucumber also works really well. Beets.
yes.
work well. I mean, raw beets or cooked beets, either or. I mean, particularly when it comes to beets. Now, I'm speaking of beets, and I'm seeing beets now. I don't know why I keep thinking beets are not a summer vegetable.
Well, because beets are abundant all year round, and in the winter, there isn't a whole lot of the summer vegetables around, so what do you think?
I guess that's where they stand out. Mm-hmm.
That's really what it is.
Well, speaking of beans, there's a variety of beans here that I never know what to do with. We made some fava beans the other day that were fantastic. I know what to do with those. What about these cranberry-looking beans? What do you do with these?
Now, cranberry beans used to be really popular in the regular markets, but that age group has died off. We've got cranberry beans here and butter beans. I usually just shell them and saute them, a little bit of garlic and olive oil.
Do you have to parboil them like you do the fava beans and get that inside jacket off?
When they get this big, I would parboil them a little bit because these cranberry beans that I have here are a little over mature, but they're fantastic. These were abundant at one time in the Bay Area, and now it's pretty much, cranberry bean lane with mm-hmm. houses on it, unfortunately. But when I first started in the produce business in the 70s, all the old folks would come in and buy these shelling beans like crazy.
What'd they do with them? Make soup?
Oh, and they would make soup, they would make succotash and little things with ginger, all kinds of things, and they bring them to me, too. And I get to taste all these different things. Then I'd start asking for recipes. Which somewhere in my stash, I have a collection of recipes handwritten from a lot of elderly folks that used to come into the store back in the 70s.
So when will you be publishing them?
That is the plan.
Well, it is, cranberry beans are something that we see all the time. And it's just, I guess, one of the things that we haven't known particularly what to do with. But when you mentioned the difference between a fresh bean and a dried bean, it's night and day. It's just whole different world. The produce cornucopia, I want to call it, that's sitting in front of us is just unbelievable. Dan, the produce man, is here with us. I've got questions.
Still got to find out how to pick a melon.
We got to find out how to pick the right melon. I see figs, eggplant, tomatoes, kiwi, lemon cucumber, which you
and
actually
grapes.
Grew in your own yards, grapes, right. and some beautiful corn. You're listening to A Matter of Taste. We'll be right back.
Taste a little of the summer, you can taste a little of the summer, you can taste a little of the summer, cause my grandma put it all in jars.
And the love is obviously here because Dan, the produce man, brought some love to the studio. Interesting, but before I talk of melon, I got to talk about this thing here. I have never seen I've seen donut peaches. This is a donut nectarine, and this is kind of very exotic and sort of like kind of a first
somebody sat
exposition.
On it.
Yes, it is. The donut peach is very popular. It's also known as a saucer peach. And it's actually what peaches were more originally like in ancient times in China. The donut nectarine we heard it was coming. We were told it was coming a couple of years ago by Karen Kaplan, who runs Frida's Specialty World Produce. But this actually I picked up at a farmer's market. A guy is growing them as an experiment.
Mm-hmm.
He's calling them donut nectarines. They really have a number. Almost every piece of fruit and vegetable, while it's in the experimental stages, they're numbered before they're named.
Really?
Yes.
So what's the number?
Well, I wouldn't call this, let's put it this way, it ain't a red pepper.
Yeah, that's right. And they're very tasty.
Yeah.
And there's white ones and there are yellow ones.
It's sort of, for me, it's sort of like a peach for one person, because it's just enough to satisfy you, but not too much that you feel like, God, I just ate this whole peach.
It's
nectarine.
Great fruit, but they got to get the price down. That's they have to do.
That
I mean,
old
it's
pricey thing again.
Way out there.
All right. Now, how to pick a melon. Every time David and I go to the supermarket, we see all these great-looking melons, and they're kind of expensive, and I don't want to take one home if it isn't going to be great, because I know it's going to be expensive. And he has his way of what he thinks is the way, and I have my way, and I push on it, and he smells on it, and we're never right.
Well, sometimes we get lucky.
If we're lucky, but not because we've guessed.
Well, with several different melons, first of all, melons used to be cheap. I used to sell them three for a buck at my store. Those days are gone.
You're like talking about cantaloupes.
Well, honeydews as well.
Honeydews too. Wow.
Well, cantaloupe, you're going to want gold all the way
mm-hmm.
around.
Okay.
And a nice give to it and the aroma. I mean, that's
what about
what about the netting?
Yeah. Duh.
Well, nice thick netting is good. It's good. It's a good sign of very firm, dense meat inside of the melon.
But how much resistance to the push and how important is the smell?
Well, the smell is important, but you're only going to get it on local melons. You're not going to get it on the imports that you get during the winter because they pick them too green and they fumigate them and all this other jazz. So right now is the right time to to get the perfect melon and have the perfect melon experience. So you want nice gold cast all the way around on a cantaloupe, nice thick netting. And on a cantaloupe, when you push in on it and give it a little bit of give, there really isn't going to be a whole lot of spring back. There's going to be a little bit, but not a whole lot.
And should you be pressing on the top or the bottom or anywhere?
Anywhere on the melon.
Okay.
Now, with honeydews, you want a nice creamy yellow color and a give that's going to spring back a little bit. And the aroma is definitely important with the honeydews as well. Heavy for their size also. And again, with honeydews, this time of the year is the time of the year to get the melons, now right up through October.
Now, what about some of the exotic melons? What is it called?
The Persian melon or the Galia melon?
Yeah, the Galia melons and also the Charlins.
Okay, Charlins about a week away. Any of the netted melon or musk melon descendants are melons that you're going to want to pick out, very similar to the cantaloupe. Heavy, a nice give, and definitely that nice blossom smell to it. If you don't have that, then you're not going to really have a very good melon. It's going to be sour. You don't want them to sit around too long because the Charlene melon and the Galia have very soft flesh, and the sugar can go over the sugar level, and it'll taste like glue.
You mean really that
chemical
thick? Yeah. Interesting. Grapes. I see you have some Thompson seedless grapes. I think a lot of people have a tendency to pick these grapes when they're green. That's really not the correct color.
Oh, man. I tell you. There is nothing like a yellow Thompson seedless grapes. You know how many people just shy away from yellow grapes because they think they're supposed to be green?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, yeah, they're supposed to be green first.
I don't know what you mean. Well, are the ones we're looking at here green or yellow?
Well, you've got yellow to amber color in these
Thompson
grapes. I
always think the yellow ones are rotten.
No, full of sugar. They've been on the vine the longest and full of sugar. That is what you want. You know, amber to brown. And the sugar just bites, kicks you right in the back of your throat. Absolutely delicious. These are great to pull off of the vine, wash them really good, and put them in the freezer and eat them as a freezer snack or as ice cubes and drinks. Kids love them as a freezer snack.
Well, speaking of kids, getting children to eat vegetables and fruit. I mean, certainly fruits, I think their kids are more readily interested in fruit because of the sugar aspect. But what kind of tips would you have for folks trying to get their children to eat vegetables?
I usually tell my children that I have a button right next to the table, and if they don't eat their vegetables, I'm going to press it, and the whole table is going to fall into the basement.
Oh, that's a good one. I like that.
Did they buy that excuse?
Not at all.
No, they haven't bought that at all. Well, as I've said, you know, if you get your kids involved in the process of the meal, that's going to help them get a respect and also a love for it. I mean, if it's a carrot, you get them a peeler and show them how to peel a carrot properly.
That's
or
right.
If it's a green bean, you have them say, you can break off this little end here before we put it into the steamer or the water to blanch it or however we're going to do it. And, you know, getting them involved in the process, I think, is it makes them, you know, be responsible and take ownership of the meal.
Absolutely. And if you got a little backyard garden or a little place to grow, start the process with them right away so they see the whole thing. And then when you pick the vegetables, you can chew on them with them out in the garden, and they'll taste something that they haven't tasted
before.
See,
I told you they taste much better raw anyway.
Well, you know, to a degree, I will have to agree. Yeah. But some of these vegetables, I'm very, very big fan of cooking and processing them properly. Of course, some of these wonderful things, and I'll talk about tomatoes, which is a fruit and sort of a vegetable. It depends on who you're talking
to. And
I
want
to
talk
really
about the variety of eggplants.
Yeah, fruit used as a vegetable and a beautiful eggplant. Actually, the last week we've been cooking up a storm, and we've been very blessed on our farmer's market to be able to eat from the earth, which has been fantastic. Dan, the produce man, is here with us on A Matter of Taste. We'll be right back.
Once again, Rachel and David Michael Caine.
And Dan, the produce.
And don't forget me.
And Rachel and her
eggplants. So, my eggplants. It's a female thing, really, but... at the market, they were about five different shapes of eggplants, and we asked the guy, well, what's the best one? And obviously, he couldn't say. He said, they're all great.
Depends on what the dish
is. So then we had to decide what we were going to do with it. But what an amazing variety of eggplants you can buy.
Oh, man.
The Chinese, the Japanese.
Sure.
The round, I don't know where the round one is from.
The Italian one. Then you've got the little green one. It's called Thai eggplant. Looks like a tomatillo without a husk.
Right.
And then you've got smaller ones that look like globe eggplants that they call Indian eggplant. And you know what's great with those is to what I like to do is I like to take them, pierce them with a fork a little bit, steam them, and then the skin comes off real easy. Then I take them by the stem, and I mash them down a little bit, and I drag them through all the frying stuff, and I fry them, and I can just pick them out and eat them like that with the stem.
How do you know which ones you should peel or not?
Well, it depends on what you're going to do with the eggplant. You know, I mean, I don't peel them when I slice them, any of them. I just don't peel them.
Well, we bought the Chinese eggplants because I wanted to make a Chinese dish with hot peppers and put a little bit of ground pork in it, you know, and just literally stir fry it and make it as a Chinese Szechuan hot, spicy, with hot spices and garlic eggplant.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a great dish, and you don't have to peel those at all.
Oh, yeah, they're fantastic like that. The only reason I peeled the other ones was because that was what the recipe called for. It was a Filipino-style fried eggplant.
Hmm. Now, I see you have some oranges here. I mean, they have some strange word on them called Australia.
Yes, that's true.
I don't understand why we're not eating
in California
why
are we,
oranges.
You know, what's going
why would you go all the way to Australia for an orange this time of year?
Well, actually, the oranges came to us, and...
Obviously.
But I would love to go to Australia just for an orange, let me tell you. We have the best navel oranges in the world here in California, but you can't get them in the summer. We get Valencia oranges in the summer, and they're fine. Valencia oranges are great. They're a little more tart than the navel orange. They have seeds. They're juicier. But if you want a navel orange for something, well, Australia and South Africa have the reverse climate, and they are exporting their oranges to the United States so that we can have navel oranges year-round.
Are they expensive?
A little more expensive. I think they run for about 99 cents a pound. But you know what's good about them is they go great in a summer salad with a California summer fruit, with peaches, nectarines, mangoes, and bananas even, and cherries.
Are most of these fruits organic?
Almost everything I have here is organic. Now, I wholeheartedly support organic farming and organic farming methods, but I don't have to eat organic. I'll buy produce if it's good, whether it's organic or not.
Okay. Is it still fig season? I see a lot of figs in the basket.
Yes. In fact, now is prime fig season. Figs have two seasons. They have the early part of the summer, and that's when you get the really big figs, but they're kind of watery. And then the trees go, they lose them. They're done. The crop ends. And for a couple of months, they rest, and then they come back right around this time of the year and produce the smaller figs, but they're less watery, and they're just incredibly tasty. You know, a fig is actually an inverted flower, not really a fruit.
Mm-hmm. I know also with you're growing figs and you want to harvest your figs, you want to be very careful because, and I know a lot of people who do have their fig trees and tend to them have a tendency to put a little bit of, they'll put some wax or some sort of grease on the end of it, some oil to keep the wasps out because wasps love figs.
I bet. Yeah.
And if they're really, really right, I found that out the hard way many, many years ago. I learned that firsthand that wasps love to live in sweet
figs.
That's
not a good lesson to learn. No. Now let's talk about this lemon cucumber.
Boy, that is cute.
Lemon
that would have been a good trivia question. What is that?
Oh, they're great. They're great. I grew this in my garden. I'm so proud because I haven't had a vegetable garden in about 12 years, and I finally live where I could have one.
Mm-hmm.
And I planted lemon cucumbers, one of my favorite cucumbers. They have a large seed cavity, but they are tasty. And no matter where you buy a lemon cucumber, it's going to have that backyard taste. It doesn't have to come out of your backyard to have that flavor. It's just something about them. They make a great Greek salad. Boy, you want a Greek salad, take a nice big lemon cucumber and slice it. And it's called that because of the shape and the color of the cucumber.
Looks but does
like
it actually
lemon.
Taste lemony?
No, not at all. No, it tastes like a delicious cucumber.
Oh, okay. Cucumber. Now, you got some beautiful tomatoes here. This is the time of year that I totally live for because I can't go a day without tomatoes.
Yes, you're right.
Breakfast,
I'm
we
the
have
same
them
way.
For lunch,
right. Rachel's
then we
so
have
sick
them
of
for
tomatoes.
Dinner. Then every time he's doing, would you like a tomato on that? No. Finally, I have to say no.
Well,
no.
If you're eating ice cream or something. But, you know, full of lycopene, we need that, mm-hmm. especially men. So eat those tomatoes, and it's going to come out only in cooked tomatoes. Well, it'll come out in raw tomatoes, but mainly in cooked tomatoes.
Now, it comes out in tomato ketchup, too. And, of course,
absolutely.
Tomato ketchup right now is the
Heinz,
top of the news. You
Heinz
know?
Is
oh,
in
yes.
the news.
It certainly is.
And but, is there any other ketchup worth eating? Come on.
Listen, you know, this is not a political statement.
It isn't,
I mean,
but...
Republican Party is trying to come up with ketchup for those who don't want to support Heinz. I still think Heinz ketchup is the ketchup.
Best. Well, you cannot substitute.
there's Hunt's.
But it's no good.
There's Del Monte.
Right. But they're
and
not the same.
There's Muir Glen Organic,
yes,
which
there is
absolutely delicious. So if you, you don't want any hides, you've got your
a matter
choice
of taste.
Well, all this stuff looks great. I'm sure it tastes great. We've been nibbling on everything. And, you know, there's something about having it in front of you that makes you want to eat it.
Well, we appreciate you bringing in this cornucopia and sharing with us. And people can tune in, Dan, the Produce Man. And you have a website if they want to know more about you.
That's right, www.producepair.com.
Thank you so much for joining us this week on A Matter of Taste. We'll be back next week. And in the studio, Gary Danko will be our guest. And look at that beautiful corn.
We forgot to talk about corn. We'll have to save that.
Oh, well, all that. Such a, as they say, so much wonderful food, so little time to consume it all. Have a great rest of your weekend. We are the Canes. We'll see you next week on A Matter of Taste.